What is your Skype picture all about?
What is it like?
It's you on holiday eating some sort of big pie.
Right, well, do you want to just get started then?
Aye, 15 minutes and we've been talking about Game of Thrones. Finger up the bum. 2 seconds. Tea again.
Yeah. And the crowd is yelling, kill the referee. But no matter what the score, when the clock strikes four, everything stops for tea.
That's great. How did you find that one? Are you farting again? I mean, aye. At the end of the day, I forgot what I was going to say.
Just do what I did, Derek, and just talk shite.
Well, I just did, you know.
Aye.
Hi folks, and welcome to the iReady podcast, season 5, episode 3. We're back again. How are you, Dave?
Derek, I am very well, but this we're celebrating tonight because I believe you have some absolutely fantastic news.
Yes, Stephen Naismith joining the club. No, he's not in his jammies waiting for that call yet, I don't think.
No,
so.
Definitely not. No, Derek, you and your good wife... I've had some exciting news and you've been keeping it quiet until today, haven't you?
Yep, in a week's time we're going on holiday.
Come on.
No. Yes, we are expecting our first child, so yes. All chuffed about that.
Welcome to the club, mate, welcome to the club. And the only thing I'll say is in 8 years' time, when I've just spent the last half an hour trying to persuade my 8-year-old daughter to go to her bed, and it's getting more and more difficult every single night, especially on a school night, arguing with her to get her to go to her bed, and I'm telling her that she's no tired and it's no fair, and she wishes that she was an adult so she could stay up all night and all of this. So you've got all of that to come, Derek, so I wish you all the best, mate, but I'm absolutely delighted for the 2 years and congratulations, and going by the amount of replies that we've had, because I put a wee tweet out on your behalf just to congratulate you. We've had loads of retweets and replies and all of that, so again, congratulations, mate. I'm chuffed to bits for you.
Thank you very much, and gritted teeth after that summary of your daughter there.
Exactly, it's hard going, mate, it's really hard going, but no, it's well worth it, it really is. So, no, good stuff, mate, I'm really, really pleased for you. So.
Thank you. So, moving on now to the important stuff, football and Rangers. Yes, a couple of games to cover, as ever. No boardroom section this week, so that's a
shocker, isn't it?
That's a good thing, obviously. Mm-hmm. But we'll just batter into it when we will go down the tunnel and onto the pitch. Right, two games to cover, as we said. First game was Saturday the 19th of August. It was a nil each home draw to Hearts. We lined up Fotheringham, Tavernier, Cardoso, Alves, Wallace, Candias, Jack, Dorans, Windass, Morelos and Miller. On the subs bench we had Anik, Wilson, Hodgson, Rossiter, Cranchar, Penner and Hardy. Do you remember much about this, Dave?
Derek, you're going to have to do the full thing here because I was basically just getting all of my updates on Twitter. I didn't see any of the highlights or anything like that at all. And going by some of the stuff that I was reading, I didn't really miss much. But I will let you give us your expert summary of exactly what went on. And that's that.
Wasn't the greatest of games despite us dominating the game full stop. Hearts clearly came out for a draw. And bearing in mind they were effectively managerless as well, that was a road player, John Daly, that was the step-in manager for the time being.
Yep.
I watched the game back the other day there, and you know, I've only got, you know, half a page worth of stuff to talk about. Third minute, there was a good long ball down the left hand side by Alves. Windass impeded, there was no foul given. On the ninth minute, lovely play from Dorans and Windass and Wallace to work the ball into the box. Wallace with a great first time layoff to Miller, who was in the box about to hit a shot, but a last ditch tackle put the ball out for a corner. Great defending, in fairness. 16th minute, Hearts hit a great shot from 20 yards off the underside of the bar, back out to the Hearts player on the edge of the box, who had a shot just wide. Fotheringham was at full stretch, so it might have snuck in. 18th minute, Windass was caught with a high boot in the thigh. In the 30th minute, it was a lovely turn on the edge of the box by Windass, but the defender clears the ball. Windass falls awkwardly, and basically a combination of the two things there effectively rendered them, that was him for the game. Effectively went off just after half time, which we'll get into.
Mm-hmm.
34th minute, it was a deep corner in, and Alves heads the ball, but it was cleared off the line by defender. Unlucky, in fairness. 36th minute, ball in the, we had the ball in the back of the net, but it was ruled offside. Windass was probably offside. He never got a good angle on the replay, but he never actually interfered with the play. So it goes back to that rule again. That's very ambiguous, and I seem to think that referees and linesmen do what they want when it comes to the offside rule sometimes.
Yep.
Again, it's maybe not their fault. It's a difficult rule at the best of times. You know, these things maybe need to get looked into in terms of video footage, but, you know, we play by the rules. That's what it is.
Yep.
Last thing of the first half, 41st minute, was a great save by the foot of the Hearts keeper after a close range shot from Miller. It was a great cross from Wallace. That really kind of sums up our main chances of the game. We never had really anything after that. Going into the second half, as I said, Windass came off just after half time. It was on the 51st minute. Cranshaw came on for him. Cranshaw was largely ineffective in the game. 71st minute, Doran's off and Hardy on. I mean, we're, you know, that's as deep into the second half, and we've not had anything decent to say so far. No any decent shots. 72nd minute though, Nico had a shot from 18 yards, easy take from the keeper. 73rd minute, Morelos, good skill on the left hand side, crosses the ball on the deck, slight nick off the Hearts defender, flashes by the goal. Unlucky from Morelos, I think it was more of a cross. All it needed was a wee nick from the Rangers player to direct it in, would have been clearly in, but it was travelling at some pace. And the last highlight I've got here, if you can call it that, was Hardy had a shot in the box after good skill from Candias on the right hand side, deflected out for the corner. Based on that summary there, what did you take on it and what you read on Twitter?
It's more reading on Twitter, listening to some of the other podcasts out there, Derek, and their sort of view on it. Basically, they came, Hearts came and basically sat five in defence and five in midfield. I know they had Kyle Lafferty playing, but apparently he was playing as a sort of a winger rather than a striker. So Hearts basically came not to concede, but also not to score any goals. I just, the worrying thing for us with things like that, especially at Ibrox, is that we didn't have a wee spark of genius, but maybe, Derek, to, you know, do something special, you know, somebody that could, you know, even try and get a shot away. I think that's still the only thing that's concerning me at the moment, is the fact that we still don't seem to be, you know, trying to take shots outside the box and stuff like that. I don't know if it's just because Hearts defended very, very well during the game, or we just were sort of lacking in ideas. I don't know, kind of going by your summary, it was a wee bit of both.
Yeah, I mean, certainly Hearts did defend well, we can't take that away from them. And I mean, I've used this on Twitter and my mates ridiculed me for it, but you look at us when we played Barcelona, we shut up shop, we never went 5-5-0, mind you, but we shut up shop, we played a very defensive sit-back game, parked the bus, and we got the draw. And on paper, it's a kind of similar situation with that way, where on paper, we were the much better team, we should have beat Hearts on that basis, but they defended well, shut up shop, as you said, never, they set up to not concede, but not score either. And doesn't matter what team you are, it's going to be very difficult to break down. And but again, legitimate concerns as well about not taking shots from outside the box, because you never know what might happen. As I said, you look at the Hibs second goal that just a few weeks ago, you know, they hit just a random shot, cannoned off two of defenders and in the back of the net. Yep. These things can happen.
The same with Hibs' third goal as well, Derek. Like I said, that was just an instant snapshot that could have went anywhere, and it went flying, you know, into the bottom corner. This is a concern. It's going back to last season. We said the same thing last season. There does, you know, we seem to be trying to walk the ball into the net. I hope that's something that is going to be addressed. I was kind of expecting the likes of Dorans and that, Derek. Maybe I'm getting confused and maybe that's not the type of player that he was, but I kind of had it in my head that Dorans had scored quite a lot of goals from outside the box and stuff like that, and I was expecting a lot more, but he's certainly not been that type of player for us. Don't get me wrong, Derek, I've been, you know, the type of player, I've been really impressed with Candias. He's putting some fantastic crosses into the box like we were expecting, and like we said, maybe if Windass hadn't have got injured, he might have given us some sort of wee spark in that game, but it wasn't to be. A lot of people were really pissed off and frustrated on Twitter. I was trying to be as positive as possible, you know, and it's true what you said there. For a team like Hearts, it was they were basically going to come and, you know, if they parked the bus like that, they've done their job. It's just a pity that we couldn't, you know, break them down. And you'd have found out if we'd had got one goal, Hearts would have had to have come out, and it might have led to more goals for us. But their game plan worked. Ours didn't, and it ended up nothing each. And there's not really much. I think you've actually given it a much better summary than what it deserved, to be honest with you.
I mean, I made a point to someone on Twitter, you know, he was, you know, no happy about what came out of it, which is quite understandable. But at the same time, we had, I think, 10 shots and only 2 on target. We had 65% possession. You know, we had 13 corners in the game, so the chances were there. It was just finding that wee inroad there to get the ball in, much like a lot of the time when we were playing with under Warburton. You know, we had a lot of the possession, a lot of the chances, but nothing clear cut. I think as well, and we all love him, we all want him to, you know, do well. We know he's aging, his legs are going a wee bit, but Kenny Miller, I think we're suffering from him dropping back into midfield a lot.
Yep.
It means that, and I think this is where maybe Dorans is not getting the space to work his own game, because he's finding Miller in that position as well as the attacking kind of midfielder. We're also finding that the other attacker up with Miller is left to do the job on by himself, because Miller's dropping too deep.
Yeah.
You know, if he's doing this, I mean, it's quite clear he's not running about as much as he was last year, but he's dropping back too deep. So, you know, why allow him to start games, and why allow him to have 90 minutes of most games if we know his legs are gone? That's the issue, I think, that needs to get sorted.
I think, Derek, I think Kenny Miller is most effective for Rangers in the first sort of half hour of a match. So surely if he was coming on for the last half an hour, maybe last 25, even the last 20, it would give us that wee sort of extra. It would maybe be a lot more effective for us if he was the one that was coming on from the bench.
Yeah.
You know, but at this moment in time, he's getting his game. I don't know if that's just because Herrera still isn't fully fit or not. Maybe that's what Pedro's game plan's going to be. Eventually it will be Miller coming off the bench, because I mean, that's a fantastic substitute to bring on, Derek.
Yeah.
Let's be honest with you. So, but I will just have to, we'll wait and see. That's kind of what I'm hoping anyway, but we'll, I think you should move on to the next game, because you've given a lot more into that than what I thought you were going to.
Right, next game was just on Sunday there, Sunday the 27th of August. It was a 3-1 win away to Ross County in the Premiership. Well, exactly, because, you know, after three attempts last year, we never beat them once. So we lined up Fotheringham, Tavernier, Cardoso, Alves, Wallace, Candias, Jack, Dorans, Carinshaw, Miller, Morelos. On the subs bench, we had Anik, Wilson, Dalcio, Herrera, Hodgson, Rossiter and Penna. We started off pretty well, pressing every ball that came, everything, you know, that moved, basically. On the 7th minute, Candias crosses from the right-hand side, hits off the top of the crossbar and out. Should have been a corner as it took a slight deflection off the defender. Miller, on the 9th minute, had a shot from distance, but it was way over the bar. 12th minute, it was a shot from Cranshaw, well over, but deflected off out for a corner. On the 22nd minute, we had a nice touch and layoff by Candias, who sets up Tavernier on the right hand side. There's a shot over the bar. And on the 30th minute, we got a reward. Morelos scored to make it 1-0. Great play from Tavernier to Candias on the right hand side. Candias plays a lovely weighted ball down the right for an on running Tavernier. Great cross at the touch on the right hand side of the touchline. Morelos header in the centre of the box puts it in the back of the net. Fantastic all round goal.
It was a brilliant goal, Derek. It was a fantastic pass, as you say, by Candias. And the fact that Tavernier, you know, the ball was going out, he had to really run, you know, as hard as he could and then scoop the ball away back over. And then, you know, it wasn't an easy chance for Morelos at all, but it was a great jump and the power that he got, because the ball was actually going behind him. So the fact he was able to get back and put power into his head and direct it perfectly into the bottom corner. It was a fantastic goal for us to score. I was absolutely delighted with it. Great, great all-round play.
Yep. On the 39th minute, it was a good chance again with Morelos running the box. The defender came from behind and did actually get quite a good challenge and got the ball first, but he did take the player, so I don't know really what the rules are. I thought it was a case of if you take the player as well as the ball, regardless if you get the ball first, then it was a foul. So
again, it's one of the grey areas, though, Derek, isn't it? It's the way the referee interprets it. He thought that the ball was won fair and square, so he didn't give it. But I was the same as you. I was kind of, you know, he did, you know, take the ball there, but it was very, you know, there was a thin line there between the ball and the man. But I thought Morelos at this point was looking absolutely fantastic, Derek. A real, like a constant threat to them, you know, absolutely brilliant.
Yep, and, you know, he got his just desserts again.
Yeah, incredible.
On the 40th minute, it was, as much as it was great tenacity and awareness from Morelos, it was just one of the biggest howlers I've ever seen a keeper do in my life.
Yep.
It was a bad back pass, right enough, to him in the first place. He takes on Morelos, who was sliding in, and he does quite well and plays like almost like a sweeper away. But he gets the ball. He seems to forget Morelos was even there in the first place.
He just stops. And he knows he's just been tackled, and he knows the player's right behind him, but he just stops.
Yep.
Doesn't he dare in with the ball?
And the great awareness comes from Morelos, you know, noticing this, getting up off his arse, getting round, nicking the ball off the keeper, and it was a simple tap into the net. And as soon as the ball, even before the ball had crossed the line, as soon as he had got the ball taken off from him, the keeper just flung himself back in disgust, because he knew exactly what he had done. It was brilliant, but...
Delighted for Morelos, Derek, because he really does. I keep going on about him, but he has got this sort of arrogance about him, Morelos. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but he's got this arrogance that you look and you think you can actually see the belief in him, that he knows he's going to either do something or at least have a bloody good chance to try it doing something. And so, as you say, great awareness by him, absolutely delighted, and I was just really pleased that we were 2-0 up by half time, to be perfectly honest with you. Have you got anything else to add about the first half, Derek?
Well, just before the half time whistle blew, and this has been asked by El Balthazar on Twitter, what's your thoughts on Andrew Davis' tackle on Kenny Miller? Was it a straight red? Now, basically, this was another shocking flying elbow into the face of one of our players, and only a yellow card was given.
Yep.
Baffling. It was a clear red every day of the week for me.
The one thing I'll say, Derek, and this is how we know that it's a definite red card, every pundit that's covered the match, who usually doesn't give us anything at all, have all said that the Ross County defender was endangering our player. It was a shocking, it was a straight red. Again, he led right in with his elbow. It wasn't even the fact, you actually seen him jumping up and bringing his elbow down on top of him. it's, you know, as clear a red card as you know, I was going to say it's as clear a red card as you'll ever see, but we've got to go back to that Hibs game, you know. But I mean, that's several incidents now, and that was shocking, and it was right in front of the referee again. How he only got a yellow card, I've got no idea. So I thank you, Baltazar. I vaguely recognise this guy from somewhere, Derek. I don't know. There's something quite familiar with him. So thanks for the question anyway, Baz. I mean, Baltazar. But it was shocking, Derek, and he should have been off without a shadow of a doubt.
Absolutely.
Before you go into second half, Derek, I would like to hold my hands up here, because me and you have had this discussion, and you basically tell me, in no uncertain terms, that I was talking shite, and I'm actually going to agree with you. But I text you during the game just to say how impressed I was with Ryan Jack. I thought in the first half, Ryan Jack was absolutely sensational, Derek. It was absolutely brilliant. He won everything in midfield. Any time that Ross County had any sniff of an attack, Ryan Jack was in there and snubbed them completely. He never gave the ball away once. His passing was absolutely outstanding, and he looked, he looked an absolute quality player in that first half. He kind of went away a wee bit in the second half. He was still very good, but in the first half, it was a masterclass in defensive midfield football. And I had said to you a couple of times that I hadn't been impressed by him at all. Well, I had to eat my words there big time, because I thought he was absolutely outstanding in the first half.
Yep. Into the second half, we started off the half. I mean, we've been kind of almost slated for this second half performance, but I thought we were a lot better than a lot of the commentators were giving us credit for. And bearing in mind, it was very difficult to watch the game. I only watched that after the next day on RTV, so I had to go back to old school and listen to it on the radio. So, and we all know what BBC commentary is like. So, but, I mean, we started off the second half pretty decent. Certainly Ross County did up their game a wee bit. And we started to fade in the second half round about the 55th minute. And it goes to show, because Ross County got their goal on the 58th minute.
Yep.
Really bad. Cranshaw caught in possession in the middle of the field. It was one ball forward, one ball to the attacker in the middle of the box, in between two defenders, into the back of the net. It was a simple goal to lose, but at the same time, much like the Motherwell goal when they scored against us, it was a fantastic cross into the box.
No, it was, aye. It was a great play. As you say, Cranshaw really faded for me, Derek, and they sort of, he got tackled very easily. And they played the ball through. It was a great cross, really sort of fast, whipping cross, and a bullet of a header as well. So it was very good. Going back for the analysis, Tav could have done better, because when you watched it back, and I say this is all in hindsight, Derek, but I'm sure this is something that they'll go over in training and that, but you saw when the attacker that scored the goal, when he ran in, Tav was with him, and then Tav for some reason peeled away to mark somebody else, but there was nobody else there for him to mark, so he basically left him all alone, just to get his header in. So I mean, it was quite poor defended by Tav, and I thought that Tav actually had a very good game. Him and Gay Candace are working quite well down the right hand side, but just that one lapse as usual, and that's a goal conceded. So here's hoping that they can they can tighten up a lot more.
Yep, on the 61st minute, something I never thought I'd see, Kenny Miller coming off and Herrera coming on.
Yeah.
A minute later, it was a good save from Fodigham from a free kick from 25 yards. 63rd minute, Cranshaw off, Penna on. Now, it's two players we wanted to see on.
Yes.
And as the game was going on, it was quite clear they were the two players that I had to come off. So I'm glad to see that both things happened there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
68th minute, Dorans had a half volley from 20 yards, was going on target, but the defender got in the way. It was a good effort because there was some power on the strike as well. 78th minute, it was good play with Penna to Morelos and back again, shot on the edge of the box but high and wide. Good to see Penna getting in that position though.
I actually think he looked really quite bright, Derek, and he was unlucky with that one. Good link-up play, great awareness, and to be fair, I think he actually done more in the short time he was on than what Cranchar had done in the whole game. So, I was pleased. The guy's been getting slated. There's been a lot of rumours going out about him. So I was pleased to see him come on, and he did look quite sprightly when he came on.
Yep. On the 79th minute, Morelos came off and Rossiter came on. And in the 88th minute, this is the last thing I've got here, we went 3-1 up with Herrera scoring. Penner threw on goal after a good link-up play with Herrera. Couldn't get the shot off. Ball played back into midfield. Then to Wallace on the left. It was a good ball to Herrera, who hits the shot from 18 yards past the keeper. It was great vision from Wallace as well, I think, to get in position and get the ball across.
It was actually a great move. It was a fantastic ball flicked into the path of Wallace, and a great touch to bring it back. And he just looked up and fair play to Herrera. He timed his run perfectly. Wallace saw him across the ground, and he just kind of, strode into it and hit it first time, sort of passed it right into the bottom corner. Really, really good, like a classy goal. And again, all the Rangers fans out there delighted that he's off the mark as well, Derek. And, here's hoping, we've got this break now. Here's hoping after that it's, possibly him and Morelos up front after that. So absolutely delighted. And, the fact that we've scored three goals, a difficult away, ground, outstanding. I was delighted. The second half, Derek, as you say, we did get, there was a lot of people were slating us, and I watched the game on BT, and the commentators were desperate for Ross County to get an equaliser, absolutely desperate, and even they were making it more edgy than it really was. Ross County had a couple of chances, but Ross County were completely outplayed in the first half, so they couldn't have played, there had to be a period in the game that they kind of came back into it. Unfortunately for us, it was when they scored and they put us under a wee bit of pressure. But really, Alves and Cardoso, I thought, looked pretty solid. So I certainly wasn't scared that we were going to, that they were going to get back into the game. And I've not felt like that in quite a while. Again, listening to the commentators, which we'll get into later, they said that they thought that Bruno Alves was man of the match and he was outstanding. And again, I thought that Alves had his typical sort of solid game in there. I didn't think he'd done anything spectacular. But again, the biased commentators who don't want us to succeed make out that it was the defenders that were saving us, and they were outstanding, where I thought Ryan Jack was absolutely fantastic. As I say, he quietened down a wee bit in the second half, but he was still very effective. So I would have given it to Jack. They gave it to Alves. Again, I've told you why they did that. But I get Morelos was excellent when he was on. Candeas and Tav linked up really, really well. Wallace was quite quiet, but then again, it shows you that if Wallace gets a chance, down the left-hand side, he's great at attacking, and it was him that made the third goal. So, no, all in all, I was delighted with the result, Derek, and there was a lot of plus points in there, certainly more plus points than negative points for me anyway.
Yep. One thing you did mention as well about the rumours about Penna as well, about being on the booze and all that kind of thing, and as much as you can have a laugh about it, and he's, a boozy or whatever. I asked somebody about this on Twitter when he was trying to slate both, Penna, Herrera, every player that he's brought in so far. I said, where's the proof about him, being on the booze? And his reply was, my mate seen him drinking a bottle of Corona at 2 in the afternoon. How can he turn round and say, oh, because my mate's seen him drinking a bottle of Corona at 2 in the afternoon, he's a drunkard and he's out in the piss all the time?
Again, I'm going to quote some of the guys on the We Welcome the Chase podcast, and I thought this myself. See if he does go out in the piss all the time, Derek, and he is overweight, but he's still fucking outstanding for us. So what? So, I mean, I really don't care. You've seen what happened over the weekend. Certainly, if Pena's gone out and having a few beers and having, and eating stuff and all that, but he's still able to play. I don't know if you've seen the headlines over the weekend with a certain Aberdeen ex-Celtic player gone out in the piss and ending up in the bloody river. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, if that, could you imagine if that had been one of our players that that had happened to?
Well, exactly.
It would have been over the... I mean, I know it was the front page of one of the newspapers, but that would have been major news constantly. It would have been everywhere 24/7. So, aye. You know, the guy, I'm not going to have a go at the guy at all. I want to see him play. I was quite impressed with him when he came on there, because when you come on late in a match, Derek, and it's one of you know, he's hardly played any games, he did look bright and he did link up really well, and he made a great chance for himself, and he was involved in the third goal, like you said. So I'm not going to have a go at him. He's travelled, you know, just about, you know, to the other, I'm not saying the other side of the world, but a very long way to a completely different country, a completely different type of football. Everything has totally changed for the guy. He is still relatively young, so it's going to be really difficult for him, Derek. So I think we should get off his back, support him as much as possible, get him in the team, and hopefully, you know, he can be a star for us. But I really was quite impressed with him when he came on. Without him being too out, you know, doing anything major, he got himself involved in the game big time, I thought, and I just hope that he is now, you know, that's him going to now kick on and play more of a match, because he did do more than McCranchard did in that tight time he was on. But he has went through a lot, the guy, you know, coming over, and let's just get behind him.
Exactly.
You know, stop having a go.
And it's the same with the whole team in general and Kashina. It's like, do they not realise he's going nowhere? We've spent too much money, too much time, too much effort on getting this guy in. You know, back him or just shut the fuck up, basically.
Just as you say, for all the rumours that's going on, or my mates, fucking aunties, sisters, bumming babysitter, seen him doing this and seen him doing that, just get a grip, eh? Go and watch him play. He's no causing any bother, you know, when he's out, you know, doing whatever. I've heard loads of stories. I've heard worse stories than that, Derek, about him, which I'm not even going to, you know, bother repeating, because I think they're absolute bullshit. But, you know, loads of different things we've heard about him. But let's just hope he gets in there. And, you know, we didn't spend that amount of money on a player for somebody to come in that, you know, the manager thinks is going to be, you know, completely duff. So, no, I'm certainly going to back him, you know, when he comes in, and quite look forward to him playing. And he is supposed to be an attacking midfielder. I think that's what we've been missing big time, is a real, you know, goal threat from midfield. So let's just hope that he is the man that's going to score some goals for us, as well as set up quite a lot of them as well. So only time will tell, Derek.
Next thing, just to do with the, or the last thing to do with the Ross County game, we'll get into your favourite subject, Chris Sutton.
Derek, what can we say about Chris Sutton?
He really was a cunt, wasn't he?
Really? What is the guy's purpose, Derek? What is his purpose? He is trying to be controversial, but he is just being the biggest dick in Scottish football. He really is. He has got a complete obsession with our team. There was absolutely no... I mean, I'll let you get in for maybe someone on the, who's been living on the moon over the last few days that didn't know anything about it. I'll let you go over exactly, or a brief description of what happened after that.
See, to be honest with you, I don't really want to talk about him too much because of the fact that you've explained there exactly what he's doing. He's just trying to say things just to be controversial, just to get people talking about him. And it's the exact same with all these Graham Spears, Tom English, Keith Jackson. I've unfollowed them on our Twitter for that reason. Yep. They're doing it just to provoke a reaction.
To be fair to Pedro Caixinha, he didn't lose his cool. He basically had a wee dig back at him by asking him what, you know, coaching experience he's had, which got a wee chuckle for Ali McCoist, I must say, when he said it. But, you know, he done the right thing, Pedro. Really classy. Basically, I don't care about Celtic. Change the subject straight away. Didn't dwell on it. But Chris Sutton, absolute prat of a man, and proves now to me and everyone that he's not professional enough, Derek, to be asked to commentate on a Rangers game. He's not professional enough to do it. We go on all the time about guys like Davy Provan, Andy Walker, and guys like that, but they, no, even they come away with the amount of horseshit that he comes away with, constantly comparing players to Celtic players, constantly having a go, no being able to give any praise. You can tell with the likes of Andy Walker and that, Derek, that it is really through gritted teeth, but he does have a certain level of professionalism, which, you know, doesn't allow him to go into that full-on I hate Rangers mode like what Chris Sutton does. And another thing that pisses me off is there's absolutely no backing of the team by Terry Butcher when he was commentating. No. He was absolutely shocking, agreeing with absolutely everything that Chris Sutton said. Terry Butcher should hang his head in shame, Derek. He really should. And it was just really, really poor. And for BT Sports, apparently they had a lot of complaints about it. BT Sports are really needing to have a look and say to Chris Sutton, look, you can't do it, Chris. You can't be your commentator when we've got a Rangers game. I would rather have somebody foreign, Derek, that knows about football, that's got absolutely no links to Rangers whatsoever, and no links to Scottish football, to come in and do a commentating on it, because at least it would be completely unbiased. But it was just embarrassing. Really, really embarrassing.
Yep. As I said, I'm not going to talk too much about that kind of side of it, because they are just in it for themselves, and they're in it just to be controversial, and I'm pretty sure they'll be paid a bonus every time they whip up the frenzy like this.
So, yeah.
You know, that's all I've got to say about that.
Yeah.
As Forrest Gump would say.
And that's all I had to say about that.
But anyway, in the table, we've played 4, 1-2, drew 1, lost 1, 4-7 against 5, goal difference plus 2.7. We're joint 5th with Hamilton and Hibs. Aberdeen, who are top of the league, on 12, Celtic and St Johnstone on 10. Games to come, we've got the first game, which I'm going to miss, which is Saturday the 9th of September at home to Dundee in the Premiership. Friday the 15th of September, it's away to Partick in the Premiership. That's a 19:45 kickoff. We're playing Partick straight after that on the Tuesday the 19th, away again in the League Cup quarter final, another 19:45 kickoff. And then the game that you're going to miss, unfortunately, Saturday the 23rd of September at home to Celtic in the Premiership, and it's a 12:00 kickoff.
Yes.
So, just on the kind of basis of that, there, I did put a tweet out, a couple of days ago about, you know, after the decent end to the pre-season, won the first two games, everything was brilliant, all high as a kite. We had a dodgy referee in this game, and we had a team that parked the bus in Hibs and Hearts, and everybody's doom and gloom again. I think people need to lighten up a wee bit. Yeah, not the greatest start. We're sitting 5th now. We are, you know, only 3 points behind Celtic now. We're only 5 behind Aberdeen. You know, it's a long, long season. So some people who are bumping their gums about Kashina, about the team, yeah, there's issues there. We need to sort out, we need to iron out, but it's right now, it's not the end of the world. So,
I think it's just, Derek, we're just desperate for, you know, some success. We're absolutely desperate for it. We've seen, you know, our rivals fair across the city, you know, going the whole season undefeated. The media, you know, having an absolute, you know, wanking themselves to oblivion over how amazing they are and how their manager's like the fucking second coming and all of this. We're just desperate for, you know, something good. We've had no luck at all, Derek. We really haven't. I think it's, you know, time for our luck to change a wee bit. And they've had all, you know, although they've played very, very well, they've, you know, had the luck of the rub of the green a lot as well. So, we're just desperate for things to go well for us, Derek, and when they don't go well or there's a wee bit of setback, we're just, you know, it's hard to take. But I do feel I like the manager, Derek. I'm desperate for him to succeed. But I know we all have our doubts about certain things that are coming in. And a lot of people had a lot of questions again asking about how Kenny Miller can get dropped. But I've just got a wee feeling that Herrera is coming back to just about full fitness, and I think we'll see him up front. And we've still got 2 days of the transfer window left, Derek, so there's been a lot of rumours out there Apparently, you know, the manager is away over to Portugal, but he's left his instructions with the director of football to go out and get the transfers done, and that's transfers plural. So we just have to wait and see who, you know, who comes in, if anybody. And you never know, we might manage to, you know, get in a couple of really, really good players that will, you know, galvanise the team and make us much stronger. We'll just have to wait and see.
Yep. Right, anyway, as I said, there's no boardroom section this week, so we'll now go straight into the classic match.
Oh my God, straight away. There
we go. Manchester, brace yourself. Rangers are coming!
Right, Derek, I am going to go back to the year 2000.
Let's all meet up at the year 2000.
Who was that supposed to be?
That was maybe Pope.
Okay. Anyway. 26th of March 2000, and possibly, certainly within the last 30 years, one of the most one-sided Old Firm games that we have had. Rangers versus Celtic, 26th of March 2000. Rangers on the day, we were basically going for the title. This win would just about guarantee us the title for the, you know, for that season, 1999 into 2000. Rangers on that day lined up with Stefan Kloss in goals. A bit of a strange defence with a few players injured. With Claudio Reyna was playing at right back, Arthur Newman left back. In the centre, it was Lorenzo Amoruso and Scott Wilson. Remember him, Derek?
Unfortunately, yes.
We had in midfield Barry Ferguson, Giovanni van Bronckhorst, with Andrei Kanchelskis wide right, George Alberts on the left. And up front, it was Billy Dodds and Rod Wallace. On the substitutes bench, we had Lionel Charbonnier, we had Neil McCann, we had Tugai, Pentilla and Nicholson. Celtic on that day lined up with Jonathan Gould. I've got down here terribly, but it was Talibe who basically came on early on in the match because Stephen Mahe got injured. They had Reseth, Boyd, Mialbe, McNamara, Lambert, Moravchik, Petrov, Tommy Johnson and Mark Viduka. Now, I was at this game, Derek, and I always seem to remember how well Andrei Kanchelskis played in this match. He absolutely terrorised him. He was outstanding in the game, as was Rod Wallace. That I can, you know, as soon as I was looking back at this game, the first thoughts that I had was, oh, that was the game that Kanchelskis was outstanding. And then when I watched the highlights back, oh, you know, it all came flooding back. And it was actually, I thought Rod Wallace had a fantastic game looking back at the highlights, but I always remember Kanchelskis was brilliant. And straight away, you know, Rangers came right out of the traps. And in the second minute, Kanchelskis starting the game, he wins a corner on the right-hand side after, you know, the ball just kind of came to him. He flicked it in front of his cell and ran, you know, how fast he was. Tried to put the cross in, it came off one of the Celtic players out for a corner. And from that corner in the third minute, Rangers opened the scoring.
Giovanni van Bronckhorst with a real swirling corner. And Kanchelskis knocked it across, and it's in from Alberts. What a start for Rangers! And they have got it in for Celtic again.
The corner was floated in and it was headed back across the face of the goal by Lorenzo Amoruso. Nobody marking George Alberts, who scored one of the easiest goals he'll ever score with his head from about 3 yards out. He just ran through, nodded it in to make it 1-0. Nobody on him at all. So that was in the third minute. Then for about the next sort of 17 minutes, Celtic were trying to get back in. They put a few attacks together, but Rangers were really strong in defence. They couldn't get through at all. Rangers were gathering the ball. They were playing it about. Some fantastic stuff. A lot of passing about. Then on the 20th minute, Kanchelskis again picks the ball up in the halfway. He plays a fantastic ball through to Rod Wallace, but Wallace was kind of off balance. Hits a shot, but it's wide of the post. 25th minute, one of the very few chances that Celtic had. A long-range shot for the edge of the box, but it was passed. Then on the 30th minute, a long range shot by Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, which was saved by Gould. Great, very good save. And then throughout that period, for the next sort of 10 minutes, Celtic were trying to get back in. They couldn't handle Rangers in midfield, and there was a succession of really bad tackles by Celtic, which there wasn't really anything done by the referee, but they were basically just trying to take the sting out of Rangers. It didn't work because Rangers were totally dominating at that point, but there was a few really, really bad tackles that were put in there. And then on the 40th minute, Rangers scored their second goal.
It's as physical as ever. Oh, Van Bronckhorst has released Kaczelskis. Kaczelskis surely. 2-0. Rangers are most definitely heading towards the title. There wasn't really much doubt anyway. There's absolutely no doubt now.
And it was through Celtic's own doing as well. They basically gave the ball away on the halfway line. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst picks up the ball and just has a wee quick look up. It sees Kaczelskis racing through on the right-hand side. Plays a fantastic through ball to Kaczelskis. Takes it under control, sprints into the goal. Jonathan Gould runs it and he just slots it past Jonathan Gould into the net to make it 2-0 to Rangers. Great goal. Great play by Van Bronckhorst and a fantastic goal by Kaczelskis. And then 5 minutes remaining, it was just all Rangers. Great pass and play, square across the box to Wallace, back to Alberts. Wallace was fantastic. He started and finished this move. Wallace back to Alberts, then on to Reyna, then on to Kaczelskis on the right. Right wing, a long cross to the back post to Van Bronckhorst, who flicked the ball back across the face of goal to Wallace, and his shot was just past the post. It would have been a fantastic goal if it went in. Wallace was having a great game. But it finished at half-time 2-0 to Rangers, completely dominant in the game. But it was one of the games, Derek, where you still think to yourself, at 2-0, it's still not enough. And looking back, we were absolutely fantastic with nothing to worry about. Into the second half, Rangers again came out of the traps. In the 47th minute, Reyna lofted a pass into Barry Ferguson, who was running into the box, and he lobbed it, and it just went over that. They made a fantastic ball again. And then in the 48th minute, Rangers actually had a goal. We scored the goal, but it was disallowed. I still don't know what for.
The RB going to retrieve, and Wallace has kicked it in. Wallace bearing down on goal. Billy Dodds, second chance. Billy Dodds. Oh, it's been ruled out, I think. It's been ruled out, and it's not going to count.
And as the ball is played, well, it looks level to me.
Rod Wallace again, he actually out-muscled Mialbi. Now, you remember the size of Johan Mialbi, Derek. He was a massive, massive central defender. But Mialbi was out on his sort of right-back area, and Rod Wallace ran in to make the tackle, sort of used his shoulders, out-muscled them, picked the ball up on the wing. He ran into the box and played the ball back to Billy Dodds. Billy Dodds hit a shot. It was, it came back off one of the defenders, rebounded, hit the shot again into the goal, but was given offside. And it was I still don't know why it was given offside. That should have been Rangers' third goal at that point, but Celtic were let off the hook there for that one. Then just a few minutes later, Barry Ferguson with a fantastic pass to Andrei Kaczelskis, who crossed to the edge of the box to Van Bronckhorst again. It was sort of headed away by the defenders. It fell to Van Bronckhorst, the edge of the box. He hit an absolute sweet volley the edge of the box, which was saved by Jonathan Gould. Great save, I'll give him that. That then, his save was rebounded to Claudio Reyna, who also had another shot, and it was saved this time completely by Gould. So two great chances. 55th minute, Kaczelskis beat his man on the right hand side, a low cross to Barry Ferguson, who had a shot, saved again by Jonathan Gould. Every single chance that Celtic were making, we were able to handle it, and the only time that we were under any kind of trouble was by a scuffed clearance by Scott Wilson, which was nearly an own goal, but we managed to get it cleared before it crossed the line. Neil McCann then came on as a substitute in the 64th minute. Rod Wallace again wins possession for chasing the defender's ball. passes the ball over to McCann. McCann should have scored again. It put the shot over the bar. 66 minutes, Rod Wallace misses an easy, easy chance. It was a 5-yard header straight at the goalkeeper for a fantastic McCann cross. Rod Wallace, it was the only thing he did wrong in the whole game. 76 minute, Claudio Reyna to Neil McCann. Great ball to the on-running George Alberts. Again, a great chance, puts his shot over the bar. And then on the 84th minute, we finally got our third goal.
Now Van Bronckhorst. Oh, Van Bronckhorst has put Neil McCann in. Is this going to finish it? Alberts! It's a romp for Rangers. It's a second for Alberts. Nothing's going to stop them now.
Neil McCann gets the ball, it runs through on the wing. It was a through ball to McCann. He picks it up, it's on the wing, runs to the byline. Jonathan Gould comes out. He basically sidesteps Gould on the byline and puts a wee dinked cross. Alberts is right in the middle, but it's behind Alberts. Alberts kind of does a flying side overhead type kick on the volley. Manages to scramble the ball into the net. Place is absolutely jumping. Rangers are 3-0 up. Fantastic. And then 2 minutes later, on the 86 minutes, we really rubbed salt into the wounds.
He's two guys. Oh, he's put Kanchelskis away. Kanchelskis. Wallace. He can't score. Van Bronckhorst can't score. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst.
Fantastic goal. Two guy with the most magnificent ball, through ball to Andrei Kanchelskis on the right hand side. He played the ball into Wallace. Wallace just couldn't score in this game. He hits a shot, it was blocked. It comes out to Giovanni Van Bronckhorst on the edge of the box, and he just unleashes this fantastic low curling shot with his left foot right round Jonathan Gould into the net. Brilliant, brilliant goal. It was a great performance, a great result, Derek, and fantastic players on show, and it really was completely one-sided throughout the whole game. Now, I was 25 at that game, Derek, so you must have been, what, about 14, something like that, 15. During that game. Can you mind much about it?
I can. I remember bits and pieces, certainly the goals, yeah, I remember. And, you know, the third goal especially, where the cross came in and he had to kind of go through behind to get it.
Yeah.
Remember that, but, you know, certainly watching the game back before we done this pod, you know, fantastic result all round and complete dominance, obviously. And
yep.
I don't think the fact that we got the goals late on really kind of highlighted how in control of the game we were.
Should really, the amount of chances that we missed, Derek, it could easily have been about 7 or 8 that game. It really was. We completely outplayed Celtic for the whole match. And strange to see George Albert scoring a goal with his head and then also seeing another sort of poacher's type goal from, because we were that used to seeing Albert's battering left foot shots for the edge of the box and stuff like that. So it showed you the other dimension to Albert's game, and he was, you know, we were going about how good he was, but you know, when you look back at these games, the man was an absolute class act. He was brilliant. It must have been terrifying to play against him, actually, Derek. It really was. He was great, great player.
Yep. So hopefully we beat them like that next time. But I'm not going to hold my breath too much.
I'm not going to say too much. No, definitely not.
So we'll move on now and we will go to the news.
From ITN, the ITV News at 10 with Trevor McDonald.
Right, as ever, we've got a few bits and pieces to talk about before we get into the weird and wonderful. Rangers have signed Aaron Naimane from Man City on loan until January. 19-year-old winger. It's kind of at this stage unknown if he'll go into the development squad of the first team, and he was signed through director of football Mark Allen. Obviously, yep. His connections from Man City. So,
yep.
A bit strange if he's not going into the first team, to be honest. But
I don't know, Derek. I've heard a few things. They're apparently this is the last year of his contract at Manchester City. Did you know that?
Or I never picked up on that, no.
No, I read that it was his last year on his contract. So is this the director of football knowing certain young talent down at Manchester City that could become available at the end of the season, who we could potentially be signing for nothing or a very small fee, you know, young guys for the future? Because basically that is what, you know, we're hoping to do. We're wanting to get the youth set up back again. We're looking to be bringing in, you know, really good players from, you know, anywhere in the world. So it's maybe that's the case, that he is going to be in there for a youth development team with a view to him possibly very shortly being introduced to the first team. I don't know. You would like to think that the, you know, that Mark Allen, you know, obviously knows this boy and he's trying to get him in, but we'll just have to wait and see if that is the plan or if he is being bought for the first team. I honestly don't know.
Yep. Harry Forrester has joined Wimbledon on season-long loan. He's effectively been told he's, you know, not needed at the club. But, yep. You know, both yourself and I obviously yep. did like him. And
yes.
obviously his attitude off the field was the issue.
Yeah, definitely, Derek. And I think, as I say, we've said that about a few of them. He was a player that I feel that could have been a very good player for us. But obviously, off the field, he wasn't, you know, putting in the effort that what the manager thought. Yeah, you know, he should have been. It was certainly the same under Mark Warburton as well as the new manager. And he's a silly guy because surely it'll dawn on him that, you know, he did have the chance to become a top, top player at a top, top club, you know, biggest club in Scotland. And he'll never play in front of crowds like that again, I don't think. But we'll just have to wait and see again, Derek. Maybe this might be the making of him. He might go down there, he might play fantastic, and he might come back up and, you know, maybe get a chance. Who knows? Don't think the manager fancies him, but he's certainly got talent there.
Yep. The away kit has apparently been leaked. Well, obviously it was leaked.
Yes.
It's a red with a darker red on top. Appears to be a very basic training top, which yes. is quite a poor effort by Puma.
Yes.
It looks not too bad when the team have got it on, but as a top in itself, nah, it's no that good, is it?
Well, I didn't think much of it. My wee boy thought it was, he really liked it, but you know, it's he was like, oh no, I really like it. But it's, we mentioned it in the last pod, Derek, it'll be interesting to see how much the top is, because as you say, somebody leaked it on Twitter, the actual training top without the Rangers badge and all that on, and it was £17 to buy from Puma. I don't know if you've seen that or not, Derek. It was just the plain top where it only had the Puma logo on it, but it was that top. It was a football training top.
Right.
It was £17 in total. So if Puma are, you know, if that's how much the top are, surely they'll not be asking for much more than that.
No.
You know, with the Rangers badge on it. So, you know, if they're selling it for £20, I've got no doubts the, you know, people will go out and buy it. You know, if it's going to be readily available, you know, for the people that missed out on buying the tops and stuff like that. So if it's going to be cheap, Derek, for the rest of the season, it would certainly, you know, I would maybe even buy it for myself, I don't know, or maybe buy it for my wee boy. It's no great, but again, if it is cheap, folk will go out and buy it.
Yep. Next thing, the roads around the perimeter of Ibrox will be closed on match days in joint agreement with the police due to the threat level in the country.
Yes.
It's the same with Parkhead as well and yep. other areas, other kind of crowded events like that. Absolutely correct decision. However, for me, and I said it on Twitter, it opens up the issue about pedestrianising Edmondson Drive. It's something I was thinking even before this, is why, you know, obviously Celtic got the whole of the front of the gyro Dome redeveloped by the council because of the Commonwealth Games. It's something that I think we should be petitioning for as both fans and as in the club for us to do.
I think, Derek, somebody replied to you saying, oh, well, that would have serious implications for the surrounding houses, but surely on the front bit of Edmondson Drive there isn't any houses. There is, you know, some flats away up in the corner. But surely that whole front bit there, you know, that certainly wouldn't cause any problems. I wouldn't think for, you know, the local residents or anything like that, surely.
I think it's maybe more up, and as if you go up towards the back of Ibrox, up the Govan, the Sandy Jardine stand area that's residential up there, and where the roads are, they are quite narrow roads. However, you know, if you go kind of south of Edmundston Drive and go down that way, it's a lot less of a diversion, and you're just going back on to Paisley Road West anyway. I mean, we're talking about this and we're not from the area where
I know the guy who
was talking, he is from that area, so you know, he obviously probably knows better than we do when it comes to that. So, but I still think it's something that could be looked into anyway, because it would certainly
I think it is the sensible thing to do. Unfortunately, the world that we live in, Derek, it could quite easily become, you know, any, you know, sports stadium that, you know, has an average crowd of sort of 45,000 people milling about an area like that. It is very open, so it is the, you know, the right idea. I've not seen anybody complaining about it at all as the sensible thing to do. So I will just have to, again, wait and see what the actual full plans are for that whole thing. Maybe you're right, maybe we'll look at pedestrianising it, I don't know.
Yep. Another joint statement between police and Rangers, it was about flares. Basically, don't bring them. If you get caught, you'll be banned from Rangers.
Yep.
That was issued before the Ross County game. What happens? We score the first goal, somebody gets off pyro. Just fucking wising up, seriously.
No, how many times have we said it before, Derek? You know, it's just stupid.
This whole gets no pyro, no party brigade, just grew up, would you?
It's getting the club into so much trouble as well, and bringing on wanted attention. It just really is stupid. I don't know what folk are thinking.
No, what the fans on the other side do it, because they quite happily get away with it, but, you know, at the end of the day, that's, we deal with our own fans, nobody else's, and that's what I think a lot of people forget. The next one here, I've got my own views in it, and a lot of people are against what I have, my views here, but it was obviously Kashina's comments about Michael O'Halloran. Basically, to quote three things, is he's not my type of player, he's not the type of player Rangers need, and he does not have what it takes to be a Rangers player. To be quite honest with you, I think he was quite justified in saying what he said, regardless of the fact that he's got 3 years or 2.5 years left in his deal here. I don't know what your thoughts are.
I know that you're not his biggest fan, Derek. I realise that. You've never really been that keen on him. I think you were of the opinion that he was given enough chances to, you know, try and prove himself. I see him playing at St Johnston, who are, you know, I'm not having a go at St Johnston, or, you know, due respect to them, they're not a club the size of Rangers. O'Halloran has went there. The manager has played him as, you know, a striker, either a lone striker or, you know, as part of a front two. He's been very effective for them, Derek. He's played very well. He's scored a few goals. When he was playing for Rangers, he never got played as a striker. He was always played out wide right, which wasn't his position. I don't know. I think if we hadn't have got the result against Ross County and Morelos wasn't playing as effective as he is just now, I think I would have been possibly saying we should be bringing him back and giving him a chance. But again, we'll just have to wait and see what happens. We signed him, I think, was it for about 500,000 that we signed him from St Johnston, so I would be looking to at least try and get our money back for him. And if we didn't, then, you know, we need to be getting him back in the team if he's going to be effective. But I know there's a lot of people out there are not keen on him. The manager obviously isn't keen on him, but he is still scoring goals for a smaller club against, you know, the same opposition that we are. So I've still to make my mind up about him, Derek.
My point is, see, if he had just done it under Kashina or not played under Kashina, I would have kind of said, yeah, it was the wrong thing to say. But it's the fact that he's played the exact same under two different managers in Warburton and Kashina with us. And as I think Kashina came out and said as well, sometimes the jersey's too big for the player.
I can get that. And that's possibly what has happened to him. He maybe can't handle, but he's maybe more relaxed playing for a team the size of St Johnstone, where the expectation level from the supporters isn't what it is playing, you know, for Rangers. Maybe that's what it is. But the one thing that he could always turn around and say was, well, I never got a chance to play as a striker for Rangers, and I am doing that for St Johnstone. But again, we'll just have to see what happens. The question that I've got for you, Derek, is let's say he continues to play very well and scores, you know, goes on to score 20-plus goals for St Johnstone this season. Would people still be saying that they wouldn't want him back in the team?
It depends on our situation at the time, I think.
Yeah.
It's so kind of like what I said about the whole Naismith situation is, you know, people wouldn't want him back if we were regularly scoring and we had three strikers that done that. So it's the exact same situation, I think. But as you said, we'll just need to wait and see on that one.
Yes, right.
Yep. Next thing, you mentioned an outstanding player in the classic match. Andrei Kanchelskis has just released an autobiography called Russian Winters.
Didn't I know that? No.
States that Dick Advocaat was a little general and very arrogant. Well, he's not really telling us anything we didn't know.
Exactly. We knew that straight away. Is there much on his time at Rangers, Derek? Because let's be honest, that's the only reason that we would buy the book, was just to see if he would, you know, he had any stories about his time at Rangers. Do you know if there's much in it about the club?
I've no idea, but certainly I was going to highlight it for the fact that it could be quite an interesting read anyway, because obviously one of the top players in Europe, and he was probably one of the best known players ever from Russian football, and also the fact that he played for, you know, only one player, I don't think anybody else has played for three of the biggest derbies in Britain, you know.
Uh-huh.
And that's obviously the Manchester, the Liverpool and the Glasgow derby, so could be quite interesting.
Yes.
Yep. The next thing here is the development squad have released fixtures for the new European experiment. Basically, in the close season, they ditched the whole Scottish Development League, been participating in that, and they're doing this new European thing. So we're playing the likes of Liverpool, Man City, Ajax, Feyenoord, and I think there's a few others involved as well.
Yeah, I know. We said that before in the pod. That's a fantastic opportunity for us, and it lets them play against some of the best young players in the world, Derek. So, great stuff.
Yep. A couple of other football-related things here. Obviously, we're talking about Hearts, who had basically their caretaker coach, as it were, and John Daly, and they have appointed, surprise, surprise, their director of football and board member Craig Levine as their coach. So it really does show why they played a 5-5-0 against us the other week.
It was us that was the laughing stock, Derek, for a long time, but Hearts really have taken, you know, the mantle away from us. You know, hilarious, the fact that he's basically given himself the job.
Yep.
You know, he's really been in control behind the scenes, Derek, for a long time. And, they've obviously, you know, the powers that be at Hearts have just said, oh, fuck it, let's just, you know, he can officially have the role because he's basically doing the job anyway. So, quite incredible and really a bit of a waste of time interviewing all these folk that they brought in, the likes of Billy Davis and who was the other, Dougie Friedman and things like that were getting spoke about. Yeah, quite funny.
Well, Davis walked away from it because he didn't agree with the structure. The structure seems to be basically, you're a figurehead and I'm the one who picks the team and does everything, so...
Aye.
But, I mean, it just goes to show, though, I hope a lot of the pundits are getting their apologies ready for Ian Cathro, because it's quite clear that he was never really in control of anything and when it went to that team, so... I think they're due him a big apology by the look of it. So
yeah.
Next thing here, and I don't like talking about Celtic or their players, but it involves us. Not even an hour after Celtic qualify for the Champions League, Moussa Dembele takes to Twitter and has a dig at us by saying, "To the Champions League we progress," as in progress.
Yes.
You know, I don't believe for a second that player has taken that off his own back to go and do that. I think these players are getting coached to do that, aren't they?
It's great, though, Derek, because it does again prove, and we said it the last time, that even right up to the players, you know, really, truly, they cannot celebrate any type of achievement without thinking about us.
No, that's true.
So it shows you the level, and it actually gives me a warm feeling inside knowing that they really, truly cannot celebrate anything. And I thought it was just their supporters, but it's proving to me now that it's right up to top to the players that they can't truly celebrate anything, Celtic or their fans or anything, because everything revolves around Rangers. Absolutely. And it's great. So let them come away with their wee digs, and I urge all the Rangers fans out there to have a laugh about it, because it does just prove that we are the only thing that they really, really think about, and that they're obsessed about it. So fuck them.
Aye, fuck them. Yep. So we'll move on now, and we have got PN display. Husband caught pleasuring himself in an Asda car park on Valentine's Day as his wife was shopping.
This wasn't in Falkirk, was it, Derek?
It was not, no. Why, you got a guilty conscience?
I'm saying none.
Two people saw the ex-carpenter, I hope that's not the band, as he sat with the family dog while his wife shopped at the Brighton Marina store. He was rubbing his leg to relieve pins and needles in his Ford Focus when one thing led to another, the court heard. But two people saw the ex-carpenter as he sat with the family dog while his wife shopped in the Marina store. Ed Fish defending, what a fucking defendant name that is.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Told magistrates in the city that the defendant suffers from a condition that causes numbness to his limbs. He tried to get circulation back and it moved on to something else.
Obviously no, his limbs there, because he's certainly numb there.
He'd admitted causing outraging public decency and to complete a 20 rehab sessions and pay £85 costs.
So he basically had a cheeky ham shank in an Asda car park and got fined £85.
He had a ham shank while his wife bought a ham shank.
Was it buy one, get one free?
So we'll bring back a section called IQs. Have you got a list of them here, by the way?
I do, aye. Now, this originally to our loyal listeners out there that have been listening to us for quite some time. This was Derek's brainchild that came up with it quite some time ago. Hashtag even IQs. Any questions that any of our listeners wanted to give us, and we've actually had a few, Derek, believe it or not. What I will do is I'll read out a few and you can give me your opinions on them. The first one that we got in here was from Thomas at iSimi41. Basically saying, do we show too much loyalty to older players and not enough faith in new signings?
I would say yes. Because, I mean, as we've said, you know, the likes of Kenny Miller still being in there. And yeah, he was great last year, but it's quite clear that he's shown some signs of wear and tear. We need to bleed younger players in, I think. And I liked what we'd done at the end of last year, whether it was through necessity or not, as we got the likes of Bates and Bierman in.
And Bar Jonas, who I thought was outstanding, Derek, and he's, you know, he's... He was really impressive as well, but again, we've never seen him since.
Yep, and I think in terms of the new signings as well, it's like what we were saying before, is, you know, we need to support these players. They're not going to get any better, you know, by not playing. So if they're playing, you give them the backing. And if they make a couple of mistakes, right, they make a couple of mistakes, but then they learn from them. And if it's a continued thing where they're not playing well enough, yeah, that's when you've got to say, right, they're maybe not good enough, take them out of the team a while, going away and train, come back and see. So we need to give these signings a wee bit more time.
I basically get for what Simi is saying here. I think it is... going by, I think it's maybe Kenny Miller that he's really talking about here. You know, that's what I'm thinking myself. But no, I'm just the same as you, Derek. That's my feelings exactly. Going on to the next one is Stevie at Stevie B 1872. Having a dig here at Anthony Stokes, how, you know, he was he should have been sent off three times against us, and there was another incident against Dundee. He's put Will Anthony Stokes have to actually murder someone before he gets sent off after another attack, this time on the Dundee goalkeeper. I don't know if you've seen it, Derek, but again, it should have been a straight red card. I watched the highlights of that game. Going off topic slightly, I think Dundee have got a fantastic goalkeeper, the boy Scott Bain. I think he's really, really a good player. But again, another flashpoint with Stokes, and he actually scored against Dundee as well. And how many times has that been that he's been involved in incidents where he's not been punished at all? Absolutely shocking. I know this was kind of tongue-in-cheek, but we're all getting sick of it now, aren't we? Seeing him doing tackles and stuff off the ball and absolutely nothing happening to him.
Yeah, I mean, I've not seen the Dundee thing, so I can't really make a comment, but I have heard it is another it was another shocker. Yeah, I mean, some players just seem to get certain level of protection, and I don't know why. You can make your own mind up what the reasons for that are, but yep. Certainly
Alan Campbell has put, do you think the club actually listen to any of the pods out there and take on board what the fans are saying, from formations to outside media? Do you think, I know for me and you, Derek, we know that we've got a much smaller following than the other two sort of main Rangers podcasts out there. Obviously, Heart and Hand get tens of thousands of listeners out there, and they're bound to have some people connected to the club that actually listen to their pods. The one thing I'll say about our pod, Derek, that I did say the last time, is that the fans liaison officer, when I bumped into him by accident at the Hibs game, he does listen to our pod, and he was able to speak, he knew exactly who we were and our background, some of our backgrounds and that. So at least we know that there is certain people within the club are listening to our podcast. But I would think that there would be people from the club are listening to, especially David Edgar and Scott Vanderacker's pod, considering it is very well known throughout the support, and the guys that we welcome, the Chase, they've got links to a lot of, certainly the Club 1872 stuff and the the magazine and everything. They do a lot for that, so I think that there would be people from the club would be listening to certain parts of the podcast. What do you think?
Probably more from a litigation point of view than anything, but no. Well, in terms of team tactics and that, no chance. They're not going to listen to a bunch of amateur podcasters who have really no connections to football other than being fans. So I think that's a non-starter. But like you said about the fans liaison officer, I can. That's obviously Greg from the Loudoun, and yep. I believe he was listening to pods before he even got that position. So yeah. And he's continued that on. So, yep. If that's the case, that's a great thing. We're just doing our part to, a light-hearted fun. So,
do you think any of the players, the Scottish players and the team, Derek, listen to any of the other podcasts out there, or maybe even their own?
It would be great if they did. I mean, I know obviously Kevin Thompson had a great interview with David Edgar on his podcast.
Yeah, it was very good.
So, it's certainly out there. So you never know just who players, current players, ex-players, future players might listen to us. So, but I mean, what can I say about that?
Yep. Last one we've got here from Alan Thompson at Alan822. I think he's maybe talking about the likes of Barry Mackay out here, Derek, but he says, when we're selling on young players, why don't we seem to ever have a sell-on percentage clause in any of their contracts? I'm trying to think of other sort of young players that have left us, and we've no. I suppose we got a development fee for the boy Gilmore, and apparently we only got about $500,000 for the likes of Barry Mackay, who had been there for a young player. I can't think of any other young players that we've sold on, Derek. Can you think of any?
It was like Lewis McLeod's and that, but there was somebody in recent times we did get a development fee for, but getting to his point, I don't think Well, look at the players we've sold in the last few years. We've not sold them for any great deal of value. So, yeah, that you could say, you know, why isn't there a development? Why isn't there a percentage selling clause there? But we're not selling them for high values anyway. Celtic do it, seem to be able to do it with a lot of their players, but they're high value, you know, players, because they're always going to the Premiership or the Championship. They know that they're maybe, you know, selling them on for maybe, you know, 8-9 million initially, and they're probably going to be worth 10, 12, 15, 20 million later on if they get sold on for the Championship club. So Celtic do their business in the transfer market very well, and it's something that, you know, we should all be envious about, unfortunately.
I don't know if there is anything with Barry Mackay or not, because the one thing I'll say, Derek, is he's playing very well for Nottingham Forest. I've been watching the highlights on Channel 5, the Championship, and he's certainly their main man. He's creating all the chances. And I'm not, this isn't me for 1 minute coming on saying, oh, I wish he was back in the team. But going by the, you know, absolutely ridiculous amount of money that gets paid in England for very average players, if Barry Mackay has a very good season for Nottingham Forest and keeps up that level of consistency, which, you know, we know that wingers can't, but I don't I've said that before, I don't think the Championship is a great league at all, especially the defending. We spoke about that with Garner and Waghorn, who are banging the goals in. If Barry Mackay continues to have a very good season for Forest, even if he falls away a wee bit but comes back again, I could see a team making, you know, a ridiculous bid for him. I mean, if you just have to look at some of the even in the Championship, the likes of Aston Villa are spending huge amount of money on guys that have never been proven players in a higher league than the Championship. I could see the likes of Mackay going to a team like that for, you know, £7-9 million, and, you know, if there had been a sell on clause in there, we would have got, you know, quite a good chunk of that money back, but it's no been. So I think it's a very good point, especially with the likes of Mackay, because I think he will do quite well down there.
Yeah, absolutely. So that about wraps the pod up.
Yep.
Okay then.
See ya.
Yes, as ever, you always check out our Twitter, which is at iReadyPod. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/iReadyPod. So it's not. Facebook.com/iReadyPod. We've got an Instagram as well. We've got our website, which is iReadyPodcast.wordpress.com. We've got email as well, as always. And you can just check us out.
Yeah, excellent. Now, you are away for a week, did you say, Derek?
Yes, away next Tuesday. So
next Tuesday, away over to my second home of Tenerife. And you're staying at the hotel that me and you have been in, both have been in quite a few times, and in Los Cristianos, so I'm sure it'll be fantastic, Derek. So we'll have to try and get a pod in
before the Old Firm game.
Yes, before I'm away also, because I'm away for about 3 weeks in total. So we'll have to try and get one in before then. But the international break is coming up next week, so we might only miss maybe one game or something like that, so it might just be the one game that we'll be covering, but we'll certainly get one out before, as you say, before the Old Firm game anyway,
and we'll get a pod out as well.
Exactly.
So it's a good night from me,
and it's a good night from him.
We need to get our own catchphrase like that. We keep kind of, you know, copying other people's.
That's a classic, mate.
No, I might have Ronnie Corbett glasses, but I'm certainly not being like him.
Right, goodbye everyone, take care, we are the people.
Bye.
he's basically shagging his auntie.